picture yourself swiping through faces at 2 a.m., each profile blurring into the next. You've matched with dozens of people, yet somehow feel more alone than ever.
Sound familiar?
Modern dating has become a paradox. We have unprecedented access to potential partners, yet finding meaningful connection feels harder than ever.
Think about your grandparents' generation. They didn't have dating apps, yet somehow managed to find lasting love within their small towns.
What's changed isn't just technology. It's how we think about relationships entirely.
We're living through a massive social experiment.
Dating itself only began in the 1890s. Online dating arrived in 1994.
Swiping apps?
Less than a decade old.
Our ancestors had their romantic lives largely dictated by religion, community, and social class.
Today, we have freedom, but that freedom comes with a crushing burden of choice.
It's like standing in front of an ice cream shop with 50 flavors. Sounds amazing, until you realize you're paralyzed with indecision, wondering if the next flavor might be better than the one in your hand.
Psychologists call this the paradox of choice, and it's quietly sabotaging your love life.
Social media makes everything worse.
Unlike our ancestors who witnessed real relationships in communal villages, complete with fights, reconciliations, and everyday mundane moments, we only see curated highlight reels.
Your friends post engagement photos and vacation selfies, not the argument they had about whose turn it is to do dishes.
This creates a dangerous illusion that everyone else has figured out relationships while you're uniquely broken.
Add to this that roughly half of marriages end in divorce, meaning many of us grew up without positive relationship role models, and you have what therapist Esther Perel calls the children of the divorced and disillusioned.
Smart, successful people struggle to find love because of invisible patterns that sabotage them. These dating blind spots fall into three categories, each representing unrealistic expectations. Romanticizers believe in fairy tales, waiting for effortless love. Maya, a successful dentist, refused dating apps, expecting her perfect match to appear organically. Research shows believing in soulmates predicts lower relationship satisfaction. When you think the right person makes everything easy, you give up when work is required. The antidote is a work-it-out mindset, recognizing that finding someone is just the beginning. Maximizers obsessively seek perfection, constantly wondering if someone better exists. Research shows people who select something satisfactory once it meets their standards end up happier than exhaustive searchers. Maximizers make good decisions but feel terrible about them. Unlike buying a laptop, relationships can't be researched into perfection. Hesitators perpetually postpone dating until they feel ready. Like Shay, a successful 35-year-old who'd never had an adult relationship, they keep moving goalposts, waiting to lose weight, advance careers, or resolve issues. But dating requires practice. The solution? Set a deadline 3 weeks out, tell friends for accountability, and commit to your new identity as someone who dates.
Ever notice you keep dating the same type? That's attachment theory at work. How caregivers responded to you as a child wired your approach to adult relationships. About 50% of people have secure attachment, comfortable with intimacy and independence, communicating effectively, forming stable relationships. The other half falls into insecure styles. Anxiously attached people fear abandonment and seek constant reassurance, while avoidantly attached people fear losing independence and withdraw from intimacy. These opposing styles create the anxious-avoidant loop. The anxious person pursues, sensing withdrawal. The avoidant person retreats, feeling suffocated. Each behavior reinforces the other's worst fears. Securely attached people make ideal partners, but are underrepresented in the dating pool because they form and stay in healthy relationships. If you have an insecure attachment style, seek secure partners and learn to self-regulate.
Most people suffer from present bias, seeking a prom date, impressive, fun, photogenic, while claiming they want a life partner,
reliable through aging parents and parent-teacher conferences. Money matters only to a point. Research shows emotional well-being plateaus at $75,000 yearly income. Financial struggles cause marital stress, but beyond basic needs, additional wealth provides diminishing returns. Physical attractiveness becomes less important as relationships develop. Lust fades twice as fast as friendship qualities, and beauty doesn't guarantee sexual compatibility. Personality similarity doesn't predict relationship success. Complementary traits often work better. Shared hobbies are overvalued. Relationship experts John and Julie Gottman have vastly different interests, yet maintain a happy 30-year marriage. What matters is giving each other space without guilt. What actually predicts success? Emotional stability and kindness. Boring-sounding qualities that matter most. Loyalty means holding hands in the cancer clinic. A growth mindset means working on solutions when problems arise. The ability to fight well matters, because 69% of conflicts are perpetual. The goal is handling disagreements constructively. Most importantly, seek someone who brings out your best self. Consider what qualities your partner evokes. Do they make you feel relaxed and cared for, or anxious and small? That's who you'll be with them.
Dating apps have revolutionized partner finding. Stanford research shows 39% of couples now meet online versus 2% in 1995. But apps subtly reshape our preferences in unexpected ways. Apps emphasize measurable traits like height and income, inflating their importance simply because they're comparable. Research reveals men must earn $40,000 more annually to match the desirability of being 1 inch taller. We use filters to eliminate potentially great matches who don't fit our imagined type. Many married couples admit they wouldn't have even seen their spouse on apps due to arbitrary filters. Apps promote relation shopping, treating humans like searchable products when we're actually experience goods, requiring personal encounter. Overwhelming options create choice paralysis, like shoppers less likely to buy jam when presented with 24 options versus 6. Limited profile information triggers the Monet effect, beautiful from afar, messy up close, creating cycles where we abandon real people for fantasized perfect matches. To use apps effectively, make filters flexible. Look for reasons to say yes. Limit concurrent dates. Select candid photos. Write thoughtful profiles. Craft specific opening messages. And move quickly from messaging to meeting.
Our obsession with the spark, that instant electric connection, is misleading. Only 11% of people experience love at first sight. Attraction typically develops through the mere exposure effect, where familiarity breeds connection. Consider your closest friends. Did you feel immediate sparks, or did affection grow gradually? The spark can deceive. Some people simply excel at creating it through charm. It's a talent, not compatibility. Those with anxious attachment styles often mistake anxiety for chemistry, confusing mixed signals with excitement. That flutter might be your nervous system detecting danger, not butterflies. Enter the slow burn, connections that develop gradually with people who may not immediately dazzle, but make excellent partners. Our brain's negativity bias makes us fixate on flaws after dates rather than positive qualities. We also commit the fundamental attribution error, assuming someone's lateness reflects selfishness rather than circumstances. Make second dates your default unless something dramatic occurs. Distinguish between true deal breakers, fundamental incompatibilities like differing desires about children, and mere preferences. When ending connections, avoid ghosting. Research shows ghosters feel worse afterward. Send a polite, brief rejection message instead.
Relationships contain crucial moments requiring conscious attention, what psychologists call deciding versus sliding. Couples who deliberately decide to advance through milestones enjoy higher quality marriages than those who slide passively. The two most critical decision points? Defining the relationship and moving in together. The DTR, define the relationship, clarifies expectations and protects sexual health. Have it in person when ready for exclusivity. Start by acknowledging the awkwardness. It elicits empathy and breaks tension.
While cohabitation before marriage has increased 1,500% since 1960, research reveals the cohabitation effect. Couples who live together before marriage tend to be less satisfied and more likely to divorce. Living together creates inertia through shared pets, furniture, and living space, making breakups exponentially harder. Couples who deliberately decide to cohabitate enjoy happier marriages, 42%, than those who slide, 28%. Before moving in, discuss relationship alignment and future plans, not just logistics. When making relationship decisions, avoid two extremes. Ditchers leave too quickly, confusing initial excitement with steady love. Hitchers stay too long due to sunk cost fallacy.
When breakup becomes necessary, execute compassionately. Write yourself a letter explaining your decision. Set a deadline within 2 weeks. Choose a private location and be direct. Create social accountability with a trusted friend. Avoid breakup sex. It introduces confusing feelings. After breaking up, create a formal breakup contract. Deliberately change habits and reclaim abandoned interests.
Finding someone is only the beginning. Research shows marital satisfaction typically decreases over time, but great relationships aren't discovered. They're created through intentional work. Like species that adapt to survive, relationships must evolve to last. Harvard psychologist Daniel Gilbert's research reveals the end of history illusion. We recognize past changes, but underestimate future ones. We treat relationships like toasters, expecting them to function unchanged. But you'll be different in 10 years. So will your partner. The relationship contract offers a solution, a living document creating a shared vision that evolves over time. Unlike wedding vows spoken once, it addresses finances, family, sex, and monogamy with scheduled revisions. The weekly check-in ritual keeps it on track. How was your last week? Did you feel supported? How can I support you next week? Love isn't something that happens to you. It's something you build daily. The butterflies fade, but something deeper emerges if you work for it. There's profound beauty in choosing someone every morning, not just once at an altar.